A notice of this meeting has been provided by letter dated January 4th, 2024 to the South Jersey Times, Carrier Post, West Effort Municipal Clerk. Public notice was also posted in the West Effort Municipal Building on January 4th of 2024. At this time, we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I please have a motion to approve the minutes from the February 14th action meeting.
Motion. Second.
Second, Graswell.
All in favor? Motion carries. Bless you. At this time, we'll have courtesy, looking for a motion to extend courtesy to visitors on agenda items only.
Motion. Second.
Second, Schultz.
All in favor? Motion carries. Mr. Tucci, do we have any comments anywhere?
I have no online comments at this time.
Have an in-person comment. Same.
The box appears empty.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Since there is no comments, I'm looking for a motion to close the public comment portion of the meeting.
Motion. Second.
Second, Ricciuti.
All in favor? Motion carries. Now time for our solicitor report. Anything to report?
Nothing to report. Thank you.
Nothing to report. After superintendent's report, Dr. Ghismandi, do you have anything to report?
Yes, I do. Please see the attached HIB under the executive contact and the enrollment summary under the public comment. I do want to give a quick shout out to Bridget Deacon and Mike Wyatt, two of our staff members that have been running our Shrek the Musical. Just a little pop out for if anyone's interested in seeing it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon. But on Tuesday, they ran a century version of Shrek, and it was publicized on the ABC6. If you have a moment to go on and see it, it's a touching piece, but it just proved that just another way our staff members go above and beyond for our students to make sure that they enjoy the entire experience. But I will add the link to the Friday notes on Friday just to so you to see it if in case you don't. Also, I was able to attend RCSJ. They had a signing meeting for the collegiate high schools, celebrating that every high school in the Gloucester County signed on for that, just to be part of helping students enroll in the dual enrollments to make sure they have access to online classes at a cheaper rate to move forward, not just with the academic aspect, but for the technology as well. For technical skills as well. So they're trying to meet the needs of all of our students in Gloucester County in Cumberland County, because that's where RCSJ has their campuses. But they had a great press conference. I do believe Channel 10 was there to cover the event, but it was great to be a part of that. So if I find the link to that as well, I will share. We're still continuing as a referendum update. We're still continuing to break down the needs list before moving on to the final referendum list. As of today, we've gathered information from, we used our high school and middle school guidance, student council, our school community. We gave out feedback forms. We've held two parent advisory committee meetings as well. The third meeting will be this Tuesday coming up. I did say it was going to be in the library, but I just found out that book fair will be covering it. So we're going to be moving it to the cafeteria. We've been sharing information to the board throughout the Friday notes just to kind of to keep everyone in tune to what we've done. We do have Scott Downing here today to answer any questions the board might have. Additionally, we have spoken about, I pose a question to everyone of, you know, we really need to pin down exactly when do we want to go out for vote on the referendum. Once we move through the resolution to move forward, then we can then begin sharing with the entire West Ever community. We did come up with either a September vote or a December vote. And I just threw that out in the air because we want to make sure we do this right, the referendum. We want to make sure that our West Effort community, that they're in tune to exactly what we're asking for them to understand the needs of the school and our system and basically be able to move on to the next step. So, Scott, I don't know if you have anything, board members, do you have any questions for Scott on regarding the referendum and where we are at this point? Scott, do you want to touch base on the, you know, September, December vote? It's, and can I say congratulations today? You know, his company worked with the Haddon Township, and they just approved their referendum today as well.
Yeah.
Last night.
Yep. So, okay. So the September or December question is primarily a question of how much time do you feel you need? You mentioned the community, right? The main advantage of December is that it buys us another couple of months to interact with the community, get their feedback, invite them into the process, and so forth. The time frame to target September is pretty tight. So I think we talked about it before. We would need to be submitted to the Department of Education by the beginning of April. So that gives us just a couple of weeks from where we are now. December would buy us a couple more months. So, you know, my recommendation would be that if that's where you're headed, that we try to schedule a series of interactive sessions and so forth, whatever information gathering we can in that time, take advantage of it and make sure the community kind of gets folded into the process as best as possible that that time would allow.
Mm-hmm. Any comments for Scott on?
I have a question. Go ahead. You can go first.
I see hands do this. That's what.
Okay. I'm going to put a political spin on that. Even though we're a non-political organization with a school board, we have a highly contested presidential election coming up. Concerned about for two reasons for December is that people are really busy around the holidays. What, you know, we're going to have a really good turnout with people saying, "Oh, I was too busy." Also, you know, with the November election coming up, I don't want to be political, and I want to take off my school board hat for 1 second and just say that, you know, there are a lot of people out there saying they don't like who's running at the top of the political ticket, and are they going to be so angry that, oh, you know, I don't like this candidate for this, and I'm going to vote no against the referendum no matter what, because I'm not happy what's going on in the country. Like, I'm just concerned from like putting a political spin on it and how people are thinking, oh, you know, they're concerned about the economics that's going on in America, and then saying, oh, they're going to try to take more money from me. Like, I'm a taxpayer too. Like, I'm just concerned that if we push it off till December, that there could, it's so fresh in the minds of a general election right before the December election, that there could be some very negative thoughts going through people's minds about the economy and how much and what it's going to cost them, which is the bottom line of everything.
So I can offer thoughts on a couple of points. September and December, I mean, as everybody I think knows, you have limited dates you can have a special election, right? January, mm-hmm. March, yesterday was a special election date. September and December, you also have the option to go in November. September and December have traditionally been the most popular months for referendums, and historically slightly more successful than January and March, because we've looked back over, you know, years. So I don't have any concerns per se about September or December being different. Now, relative to the election, this is for everybody, regardless of what your political persuasion is, this is going to be an emotionally charged election in November. You can go in November. You're not going to get my recommendation to go on the ballot in November. Just it becomes an emotional vote, right? Not a good situation. September or December, I don't know that I would see that as any different. I mean, you get to September, people who are going to get charged up about the election in November are already there, I think, for the most part. So I think, you know, September and December, I don't know that I would characterize those as substantially different.
Here's another concern I have is that would any work be able to be done between September passed and before the weather got really cold?
Good question. So in terms of work getting done, and we generally try to target as much work as possible in the summers, obviously, when school is out. In terms of work getting done in the summer, September is the ideal, but December is also workable. So the way we would approach a December referendum is
We would look at things with you guys in advance. If there are really critical things, we can talk about possibly starting the process on those. But even between December and the spring, you have 3 to 4 months that we can develop documents for work that might get bid in that first summer, which might include roofing, might include critical work, might include some HVAC, ordering of equipment, things like that. So either September or December can work. January and March become more difficult. So right now, for the referendum that was mentioned, we've talked with them about we have a very limited window here to try and push out some fairly critical things, possibly get some work done this summer. But a lot of the work will target the next summer. There's just not enough of a window to do a lot of design and engineering before the summer bid period kind of runs out on you.
Can you tell me just a general percentage of number of eligible voters who went out to vote in September versus December? Because I would imagine like people that aren't like winter people like myself would not really be as keen on going out to vote in December as they do in September.
So this is purely anecdotal. There's absolutely no fact behind what I'm about to say whatsoever, but I'll put it out there that the conventional wisdom that many districts have adhered to over the years, December is a good month. People like the holidays. They're happy, you know, that sort of thing. January, not so much because the bills are sitting on the table. This is kind of the anecdotal way that people have looked at it over the years. I can't say there's any fact to that whatsoever, but, you know, December is, like I said, generally a month that's similar to September. I had one December referendum years ago where we had a heavy snowstorm. They ended up having the vote and things worked out fine. So, you know, I can't say that there's a big difference between those 2 months.
Could you help me understand regionally? So like in maybe perhaps Trenton south of southern New Jersey, what size and scope is the ideal range or for referendums that have passed, say, in the last year, 2 years? I'm just trying to understand sort of, you know, the referendum outline that we've sort of seen reminds me of when I bought my first house. It's a list of everything that's wrong with it. I'm just trying to get a gauge as to what the average size and scope of something that has passed. You know, is there anything, any sort of recommendation there?
So not really. And I'm not avoiding the question. It's just if you look across the spectrum of districts that have had referendums, they tend to center around that district's needs, and the cost value of those referendums is all over the place. Honestly, the number that I think is more meaningful is the tax impact, right? That's the number that people understand, that they relate to, not so much the actual dollar value of the construction improvements. And again, district by district, that can vary substantially, depending on your tax rateable base and so forth. Also, the list that's been talked about for referendum in terms of the high priority items is not everything. I can tell you the list that we initially identified, even the ones that we've talked about as feedback that we had received, included a lot of things that went beyond that list. So really the question for the board in terms of that list is to make sure that, number one, there aren't things on there that you don't feel are a priority for you going to referendum, but also on the other side, that there aren't things that are missing that need to be considered that maybe haven't been included at this point.
I do have a couple of questions. So part of the Haddon Township referendum, part of the chunk of their money is being covered by state aid, right?
Correct.
Right. And then the... you talked about getting the community engaged and that would be easier to do in December. So what would that look like? Would it be engaging the school community or would it be engaging, you know, West Deptford as a whole?
So my reference to engaging the community is really not so much about December, but just because we would have more time. So if we go in September, we would have to make a submission to the Department of Education by beginning of April. Okay. That is, we would submit anything that we think you might pursue in the referendum. You can always not advance projects that they approve, But once we start that process, you can't then add stuff on later on, right? So that's kind of the line in the sand, if you will. It's the time between now and that submission, right? So if there's a concern that the community has more to say, wants to be more part of the process, it could be perceived that we're rushing that, you know, out in front of them, right? Would be the potential concern. Having a couple more months that the December date allows us to have, we would basically have to submit by the beginning of June. That couple of months between now and basically the summer can be used for, we can set up a series of interactions, and that can be with both the school community and the broader West Deptford community as a whole.
I have a follow-up question to that. And then once, I mean, just because it gets submitted in June doesn't mean the engagement with the community ends, right? We have to be engaging them up to December.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's just because there's a board action at that point to approve the submission to the department, it gets perceived as a very solid step, right? So we want to try and solicit interaction before that. And obviously, yes, we will continue to interact all the way through the referendum with the community in a variety of different ways.
Post-referendum, it's my understanding that you actually become sort of the GC of that referendum monies and the active bidding process. Can you talk through what that looks like on the other side of this?
Sure. So the other side, post-referendum, can look a couple of different ways. So we would be the architect. We would advance the architectural and engineering related to the projects. You guys would probably, most districts do, would probably consider hiring a construction manager. That construction manager would help that management process. No, that's in the budgeted funds. So the budgets that we've developed always include a couple of things. There's obviously the estimated construction cost. There's contingency. And then there's allowance for other soft costs, which is inclusive of the costs of construction managers and so forth, other costs that you would typically incur. And most districts hire construction managers to kind of be a third objective eye to the process, if you will. They're not affiliated with us, the architect. We're working together, but we're working together with you, the district, to make sure the best decisions and the best planning happens. Also provision of people in the field and so forth. And then there would be others that'd be part of the process depending on the scope of work. So civil engineering, things like that would be part of certain aspects of the projects and so forth.
And then my last question was the work being rendered. We were talking about prevailing wage. Can you talk about that and the work on the backside of the referendum?
Certainly. So you as a public school district can advance work under referendum in two ways. So you can do public bid, which is most common. And public bid would include bidding under a structure of labor rates that's issued by the state that is, quote unquote, prevailing wage. And that is an obligation that you are bound to in your public bids. You also have the opportunity to do work under cooperative purchasing, just like you can at any other time. To oversimplify, but to kind of explain how we look at the difference there, most work, honestly, gets publicly bid. Certain things we would encourage the district to consider cooperative purchasing. So in particular circumstances where it's very important that you have particular types of equipment, hardware control systems, HVAC control systems, so they mesh with your existing systems, things like that. Because when you put it out to public bid, there's the opportunity for contractors to make substitutions. We can't prohibit that. And so certain things we would talk about possibly doing it as a co-op purchase, but most of it would be publicly bid, and all public bid would be under prevailing wage.
And you help us through that process? You manage that process, or that would be the construction manager that actually...
No, we would do most of the management of that process, yeah.
Is there any historical data of a referendum passing in a year where township has a tax assessment for reassessment for the town?
I guess I would reference last evening when Haddon Township's passed. They're in the middle of a reassessment as well.
Okay.
It does happen. You know, the important thing in that case, and it would be the important thing with you guys if they're overlapping, is that, you know, we our interaction with the community is informational and educational, right? We want to help them understand why the referendum is necessary and the value of the improvements and so forth, but also things like that assessment being a completely independent process, even if the timing happens to overlap, right? So most reassessments are neutral reassessments. In other words, you know, the tax impact for a third of the community is going to go down, a third remains the same, a third goes up, and you know, on balance, that's the way it stays. So, you know, helping people understand that process as well. I don't, to your question, I don't have a database of those connections. I'd have to look into that, see what I can find.
All right, thanks.
Any additional questions? Scott, thank you. So thank you. We appreciate you coming out again.
Okay. Good evening. Hopefully everyone's still awake. Should be about 5 to 10 minutes. We'll go through kind of the numbers of everything. So welcome to the annual tentative school budget hearing for the 24-25 school year. The budget is our plan for delivering the best educational program possible for our students. It helps us to be accountable to each other and to the community. Although the budgeting process has been going on for numerous months, tonight is one of our initial steps in the budgeting approval process. We will be presenting our plan, revealing multiple numbers, and voting on the board resolution in just a few minutes. In the coming weeks and months, as we approach the final budget adoption hearing in May of 2024, we will keep our eyes and ears open to the state of New Jersey and any changes that may be necessary. I will share this presentation publicly on our website after tonight's meeting.
Let's hope that works.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. This slide shows our budget numbers from the past 3 years. It gives us numbers that include our tax levy, state aid, surplus, reserves, state and federal grants, our preschool education grant, and debt, both local and state. There's an obvious trend in the bottom total line decreasing year after year. This is primarily due to three major factors. First, during COVID, school districts were able to carry over up to 4% in fund balance. This year, we are capped at a 2% fund balance that can be carried over, just like years prior to COVID. Secondly, during COVID, we received three stages of ESSER funding from the federal government. ESSER funding is an acronym for Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief Funding. In total, this added up to be roughly $3.6 million. This federal funding is now complete and needs to be completely spent prior to September 30th of 24. And finally, we had a reduction in state aid compared to last year of roughly $162,000. One positive increase for Westover School District is the increase of funding for our preschool ed program. This funding continues to increase each year due to our pre-K enrollment growth and the district being able to provide more classes for pre-K 3 and pre-K 4. Now to more specifics. Nah, go back, please. So more specifics per line. So from the first line, taxes. According to the county and state, school districts can enforce a 2% tax levy increase year after year. If a school district needs more than that in order to balance their budget and has funds available in what is known as banked cap, then they can elect to utilize these funds. Banked cap develops when school districts do not enforce the 2% tax levy increase. During COVID, as I mentioned, this cap was 4%. Any difference or unspent money between the tax levy and the tax levy cap is known as banked cap. West Deptford has $509,394 in banked cap from 2021 through to 2024. These funds expire after 3 years of non-use. The reason this total on line one, the difference from 23-24 to 24-25 is more than the 2% is because we are utilizing banked cap. The actual increase is 3.39% increase. The next line from state, this line represents our state aids, including categorical transportation aid, extraordinary aid, categorical special education, equalization aid, categorical security aid, and Medicaid reimbursement. This is a place we did see a decrease compared to last year. Next line, from surplus, reserves, and other. This line is made up of our fund balance, reserves, and incoming tuition. As mentioned before, we are no longer able to carry over 4% in fund balance, so this causes a significant decrease. One other point to note is that as of right now, we do not have as many tuition students coming into our school district next year, which decreases this revenue as well. The next line, from state and federal grants. This line is made up of our Title I grant, IDEA grant, and ESSER grant. As mentioned before, there has been a significant loss in this line due to the ESSER funding coming to an end. We also budget for roughly 85% of what was received this current year for Title I and IDEA as anticipated revenue based on our enrollment numbers. The next two lines, PEA grant and PEA grant carryover. These two lines represent the revenues for our preschool education programs and what is anticipated to be carried over at the end of the 23-24 fiscal year. As mentioned before, this line continues to go up as our pre-K enrollment goes up and more classes are offered within our programs. Lastly is the local and state debt. This line represents the debt service the school district owes for the 24-25 school year based on our existing bonds. Next slide, please. Just as a follow-up to that last comment, this slide represents what I just mentioned in the debt that we do owe as a school district and the years that this debt will be dropping off. Next slide. These numbers represent the last 3 years for the average assessed homeowner and the tax impact they have seen. So that first line is given to us from the county and state each year. So on line one, you see the average home assessment in West Deptford and how it has increased each year. On line two, you see the local school tax rate for the average assessed home. On line three, due to the increased school tax levy year to year, you see the increase in tax rates for the average homeowner. On line four, you see the school tax amounts for the average homeowner in West Deptford. This number was found by multiplying the percentage of line three by line one. And line five represents the annual increase from year to year that the average homeowner has seen. So this year, even with a 3.39% increase with the use of banked cap and the 2% tax levy increase, the average homeowner only sees roughly a $25 annual school tax increase. As was mentioned earlier, there is obviously a property tax reassessment. But as a West Deptford resident and West Deptford employee, we are fully aware of that. Not happy about it, but it is what it is. These numbers that are shown here today will not be impacted by this assessment because the assessment will not be complete by the end of this budget year. This slide is meant to illustrate some of the high-level numbers that lie behind the surface of the budget and to inform the difficult decisions that have been made. For expenses, the salary line tells a lot of the story. We, of course, have contractual increases year after year. Increases to medical benefits were very competitive this year at 6% increase in medical, 4.5% increase in prescription, 0% for dental, which in total is 10.5%. Again, very competitive, us being in the school health insurance fund, but that still has led to an increase of roughly $900,000. We anticipate also some additional costs for tuition and related services based on the information that we have right now. These items, along with the reduction in state aid and reduction in ESSER funding, which are represented by the two red lines up there, come close to roughly $6 million. Next slide. These are some of the programs and resources we wanted to highlight moving forward as far as what we're offering throughout our district for our students moving into the 24-25 school year. As a former teacher in the district and resident, it is reassuring for me to see the variety of resources we offer to our students to help guide them to where our school district wants them to be to help them in their educational futures. So first and foremost, we're maintaining our BCBA position, maintaining the growth in our district autism programs, updating Envisions math in the middle school and high school, continuous professional development district-wide, updating district-wide NJSLS standards for ELA and math, growing general education pre-K 3 and pre-K 4 program and expanding special education pre-K 3 program to full day. These are more of the curricular-based school initiatives. Next slide. These are more of the district-wide needs. So security upgrades, this is phase 3, where we are adding additional panic buttons, cameras, and fob readers. Ongoing smart board replacement programs with Promethean interactive displays district-wide. Our E-Rate Category 2 initiative, which has to do with technology infrastructure upgrades. And lastly, our continued transportation development. As a reminder, this is the tentative budget. Per the election calendar, the public budget hearing must be presented by May 20th. So our regular May Board of Education meeting is May 7th, where the public budget hearing will be incorporated into that meeting. So that concludes our presentation for the 24-25 tentative school budget. As we said before, the official adoption and public hearing will occur May 7th. If there are any questions from the board, we'll take those now. Okay. All right. That concludes, I think, your report. Thanks, Mr. Tucci.
Yeah, so next on the agenda. Yep.
Thank you, Mr. Jakubowski. Next up, we'll hear from our Finance Committee, Dr. Ricciuti.
Thank you. The Finance Committee met on March 4th from 7 to 9 p.m. The following is a summary. So item one was a referendum discussion. Scott Downey from Spiesel did a presentation on the referendum and the items projects that are in consideration. Jen Edwards, who represented bond council, reviewed the financial implications and tax impact. For more information, the board can see Dr. Gizmondi's notes from Friday. Item two was a cafeteria box truck purchase. On the agenda tonight is a purchase of a 2024 Chevrolet Express 3500 for the amount of approximately $60,000. This will be paid for with cafeteria funds, and it will be replacing a current vehicle that's kind of went out of service, basically. Item three is a tort claim form. This is on the agenda for board approval tonight. This was found to be necessary after a review of an insurance claim filed against the district by a neighbor. Item four is gov deals. This is basically, we're going to post 60 desks and chairs from the West Harvard High School to see if we can get anything for it. If not, the items will be scrapped for miscellaneous revenue. Item five is the bus depot discussion. We talked about the conceptual plan and also the updated costs. Both of those can be found in Dr. Gizmondi's Friday notes again. Item number six was the updated vehicle list that the district is in possession of and the out-of-service dates of said vehicles. I think that is posted in, is that in Friday notes? Okay. Item seven was the preschool education building lease. Tonight on the agenda is an agreement with MERS to locate and secure a property lease. Item eight was the referendum again. The first one was a PR firm to help with getting the referendum message across. There was two, firms that can help with this. One was Laura Bishop Communications, and two was the Haddam Township Communication Consortium. The committee discussed the pros and cons of each, and there will be further discussion on that going forward. The Finance Committee met again on March 11th from 5:45 to 7 p.m. At this one, we discussed item one with the timeline for the referendum, September versus December, which Mr. Downey already spoke with. The committee, most of the discussion revolved around the December date. The pros and cons were discussed for each. The committee seemed to agree December would be better at this time, but you know, the board will discuss in further. We were thinking that it gives the more time to present to the public, promote, and prepare. So you know, the September one just seemed a little bit rushed that we talked about in committee. Item two was the budget for 24-25 that Mr. Jakubowski just thoroughly went through. Big things were we discussed the surplus, the reserves, the state and federal grants. We also discussed the utilization of capital reserve funds and the limits upon which these can be spent. The goal is to carry over 2% in the fund balance each budget year with the hopes of having excess monies to transfer into capital / maintenance reserves at a year end to get to a comfortable balance. That was a big discussion, and we talked about that tonight. Item three was the bus depot discussion and how it impacts this year's budget and future budgets and whether or not it can be delayed. So going forward, I'd like to ask if there's any questions on items 2 through 27.
Drew, I'm not sure which one falls under for the vehicle that's you're purchasing. The one that's going out of service, is that going gov deals too, or is that money
so back to the district? So I can answer that. So that is strictly used for food service deliveries, transportation to and from each building. It's not going out of service. It's more so just to run down as far as the lift gate and all that stuff. It's can still be used just for different things. Because the food service truck, we need to have that lift gate to deliver the carts and all that stuff. So it still can be used in district. We just have to figure out where and what the best use is going to be for.
Would it be, so you definitely still need it though? Like you couldn't sell it to?
We could. That's part of what we need to assess and kind of goes from there.
Okay.
Any other questions on items 2 through 27? Can I get a motion to approve items 2 through 27?
Roll call.
Oh, roll call. That roll call for items 2 through 27.
Okay. Mrs. Barna.
Yes.
Mr. Deccan.
Yes, with the exception of 17, I'm a no.
Mr. Fetty.
Yes.
Mr. Grazioli.
The exception of 17.
Is it a no or abstain?
No on 17.
Mrs. Crowell.
Yes.
Mrs. Nafis.
Yes.
Dr. Ricciuti.
Yes.
Mrs. Schultz.
Yes, with the exception of 17.
Mr. Perticari?
Yes.
All motions carry. Thank you.
Any questions on item number 28, excuse me? Can I get a motion for a roll call on item number 28?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Deccan.
Yes.
Mr. Fetty.
Yes.
Mr. Grazioli.
Yes.
Mrs. Crowell.
Yes.
Mrs. Nafis.
Yes.
Dr. Ricciuti.
Yes.
Mr. Schultz.
Yes.
Mrs. Barna.
Yes.
Mr. Perticari.
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, at this time, we'll hear from the Curriculum, Athletics, and Band Committee, Ms. Nafis.
Thank you. Okay, we met on March 4th and we discussed a few items, the upcoming university clinical placements that are on the agenda tonight for approval, basic life instructor course training approval for a staff member, West Stafford High School curriculum course guide for 24-25 school year, some upcoming trips, track schedules, pre-K and K registration, implementation of a new grade scale for grades 3 to 12, and it'll show movement away from standards based grading for grades 3 to 4. And then lastly, the implementation of Latin honors at West Stafford High School for the upcoming school year. Does anyone have any questions on items 2 through 12? Okay, so we need a motion for a roll call vote.
Second,
Crowell. Okay. Mr. Fetty.
Yes.
Mr. Grazioli.
Yes.
Mrs. Crowell.
Yes.
Mrs. Nafis.
Yes.
Dr. Ricciuti.
Yes.
Mrs. Schultz.
Yes.
Mrs. Barna.
Yes.
Mr. Deccan.
Yes.
Mr. Perticari.
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
This time, we'll hear from the Policy Committee, Ms. Schultz.
Thank you. So the Policy Committee met via Zoom last week, and among the things that we discussed were there's a second vote tonight for reordering the meeting to put public comment before executive session. There's also, which is item number two, there's item number 14, which is to approve the Eagle Flight Forward. And item number 16, which is to approve the 24-25 facilities calendar. Item number 9, we also had a discussion about changing the policy at the high school to, I guess, elaborate on Ms. Navy's point. They're considering doing away with a salutatorian and valedictorian and instead moving to a Latin honors program. We discussed the pluses and minuses, or I guess the pros and cons of doing that in the policy committee. And so with that, I'd ask for a roll call vote on items 2 through 16.
Need a second.
Graziella.
Thank you. Mrs. Crowell.
Yes.
Mr. Grazioli.
Yes.
Mrs. Nafees.
Yes.
Dr. Ricciuti.
Yes.
Mrs. Schultz.
I'm a yes on everything but number 9.
Mrs. Borna.
Yes.
Mr. Deccan.
Yes.
Mr. Fetty.
Yes.
Mr. Pritikari.
Yes.
All motions carry. Thank you.
At this time, we hear from teachers of personnel. Ms. Barnum.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Teachers and Personnel Committee met on March 4th at 5:30 p.m. and it ended at 5:47. We spoke about recommendations for volunteer transfers from and substitute teachers, substitute athletic trainers. We spoke about substitute custodians, West Deptford High School volunteer spring athletic coaches listings, including the 4 girls lacrosse, baseball. And we also spoke about Greenfields Elementary School, YEP, junior substitute care provider. We spoke about the Oakview Elementary School principal position, as well as comprehensive equity plan team, guidance overloads, and various homeschool and homebound students. We also spoke about contracts, various contracts and tuition contracts, retirements, once-in-a-lifetime leaves of absence, amended hours, and start dates for various positions. So I'd like to make a motion to approve items 2 through 39. Second. It's a roll call vote.
Second, Deccan.
Okay. Mrs. Crowell.
Yes.
Mrs. Nafees.
Yes.
Dr. Ricciuti.
Yes.
Mrs. Schultz.
Yes.
Mrs. Borna.
Yes.
Mr. Deccan.
Yes.
Mr. Fetty.
Yes.
Mr. Grazioli.
Yes.
Mr. Pritikari.
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
At this time, I'm looking for a motion to open the meeting, to extend courtesy to our visitors.
Motion, Schultz.
Second.
The motion carries. Does anyone have any comments they would like to make? Mr. Tucci, is anyone making a comment online?
I have no comments online, and there are no forms in the box.
Thank you, Mr. Tucci. With no comments in person nor online, I'm looking for a motion to close the public comment section of the meeting.
Motion, gradually.
Second, Deccan.
All in favor. This time, I'm looking for a motion to approve the closed session meetings of our February 14th action meeting.
Motion, Schultz.
Second, Deccan.
All in favor. The motion carries. Does anyone on the board have any new business they'd like to discuss? I see no new business. Does anyone have any comments they would like to make? All right. If no one has any comments either, at this time, looking for a motion to adjourn the public portion of the meeting.
Motion, Deccan.
We don't have a second now.
No.
Exactly. Adjourn.
So this motion would be to adjourn the entire meeting, not just the public portion of the meeting. So Can I still get a motion on that?
Motion, second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you all and have a great rest of your evening.
I'm going to give this to you.